الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كرجل واحد، إذا اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإذا اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and young friends, from the very beginning of time, the people of truth and the people of righteousness, they have always been subjected to rejection, oppression and persecution. All the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they were subjected to rejection, oppression and persecution simply for spreading the message of truth, simply for preaching the message of truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they were subjected to a great deal of suffering for accepting the truth, for preaching the truth. And today across the globe, many Muslims in various different places, they are being subjected to a great deal of suffering. They are being subjected to a great deal of oppression in such a time where human rights are championed, in such a time where we live, where we claim to live in a free and liberated society. Even in this day and age, people are being deprived of their basic human rights, of their basic human needs, of food, of water, of shelter, of safety, of their basic necessities, people are being deprived. As a Muslim, as a believer, as an ummati, as a ummati of the ummah of Rasulullah, of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is our desire, it is our, we have a sense of empathy for our Muslim brothers and sisters who are being subjected to this oppression, as should be the worry and the concern and the feeling of every Muslim who claims to hold the title of a Muslim, who claims to hold the title of ummati, that he has this worry, this concern, this sense of sorrow, this feeling of sadness within him when he sees his Muslim brother being oppressed, when he sees any form of oppression taking place in the world, no matter how small scale of oppression this may be. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin, mathalul mu'minina ka rajulin wahidin, that idhashtaka minhu mathalul mu'minina ka rajulin wahidin, that the example of the believers is like one body, that the believers, they are like one body, they are like one person. إِذَا اشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. That when the eye is in pain, the whole body will feel the pain. And إِذَا اشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. When the head is in pain, the whole body will feel pain. When we experience some pain in our body, in just one place, the whole body will feel distress and discomfort. No matter how small that pain is, one small headache will cause the whole body to feel distress. One small injury will cause the whole body to feel distress. Similarly, if one person in the whole ummah, if he is being oppressed, then it is the duty of each and every believer, each and every Muslim, to feel concern, to have this sense of empathy and this sense of this feeling within them. It is the duty of each and every one of us, my dear respected brothers and elders. Today I want to highlight a few points and a few important points that each and every one of us should consider in this regard. In regards to the oppression that we are taking place, that we are seeing that is taking place all across the globe. That as a Muslim, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is our duty? How should we respond in these situations? So the first point is that we have to understand that each and everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is within the aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that good and bad, both, not just good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the decree and the fate and the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As humans, as limited beings, we are not able to comprehend the greater purpose and the greater reason behind the fate and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not able to comprehend this. Through our limited intelligence, we are not able to comprehend this. So we have to accept that whatever happens, it is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we accept this, that each and everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must place in our mind that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no, through no other means other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the situation. Hence, whenever we hear of these situations, whenever we hear in regards to these situations, the first response of every believer should be, his first and initial response is that he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before carrying out and carrying out the apparent means, a person must always carry out the spiritual means. He must always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. He must always perform 2 rakat salah or make some form of dua. If we accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only in control, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only person that can make change in the situation, then we must immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must, the first being we turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other being. And the third point is that if we have accepted the fate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we have accepted that Allah is in control and only Allah can change the situation, then we must never become despondent. We must not think that Allah, He is allowing the oppression to happen. He is allowing our Muslim brothers and sisters to suffer. He is not doing anything. We must never think of this. We must never become despondent and make our emotions question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That never ever think that Allah is unaware of the actions that the oppressors do. Allah is aware of what the oppressors do. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah is only giving them respite for that day to come where their sight will be upraised. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter describes the state of the state that the oppressors will be in on the day of judgment. مُفْتِعِينَ مُقْنِعِي رُؤُسِهِمْ لَا يَرْتَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ طَرْفٌ وَأَفْئِدَةٌ هَوَى. They will be in a state of unease. They will be in a state where they will know that they are going to be punished. And they will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Rabbana akhirna ila ajalin qareeb." That they will, even on that day, they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more respite. So as believers, we must never ever become despondent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran that وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمِّي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That do not think, never ever think, that those people who have disbelieved, that we are giving them أَنَّمَا نُمِّي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that we are giving them respite. إِنَّمَا نُمِّي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are only giving them respite so that they can increase in sin. So this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed, without a doubt, he will punish those people who are oppressing, those people who are depriving the rights of other people, those people who are depriving the rights of the Muslims. So we must never become despondent in these situations. Furthermore, my dear respected brothers, elders and young friends, in times like these, it is imperative that we make an intention that we increase ourselves in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We increase ourselves in spirituality. We must take stock of our lives. And we must think to our... We must reflect on a daily basis and ask ourselves, how much are we obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For verily, our disobedience and our sinful actions are the cause and the result of the oppression taking place, my dear friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That the fasad, the trial, the trials and the tribulations upon the land and the sea, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. It is because of the actions of the people. It is because of our actions, because of our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the fasad, the trials, the tribulations, the turmoil upon the earth, it spreads because of our own actions, of our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important that especially in times like this, that the best way we can help our brothers and sisters that are being oppressed throughout the world, if we really cared for them, we would take stock of our life and we would make an intention that come what may, we will never sin. We will remove all, each and every sin from our life. If we sin, we will make tawbah, we will make sincere repentance, and we will endeavor that we will never ever sin again. We will adopt this quality of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah is with those people, with the muttaqeen. Allah is the helper and the companion of the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen, who are the muttaqeen? The muttaqeen are those who are God-fearing, those who refrain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not carry out the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intention. And this should be the goal of each and every mu'min, that we adopt this quality of taqwa. That how do we become the God-fearing and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Only then the mercy and the rahmah and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. The great sheikh and one of the great pioneers of the United Kingdom, one of the first ever alims to come to the UK, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that nothing will change in this ummah, nothing will change the situation of the people of Gaza, of Palestine, until the Muslims do not bring change in their life. Until the Muslims, they do not bring a change in their daily schedules. Until the Muslims, they do not take time out to perform 2 rak'ah of nafil and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after these 2 rak'ah. Nothing will change in the ummah. Nothing will change the state of the people of Gaza. So until we do not increase ourselves in the obedience and the optional worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to attract the rahmah, the mercy and the special attention and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is this Shaykh Mawlana Yusuf Murtala rahimahullah ta'ala, this is the person whose cardiologist said to him that, oh Shaykh, your chest is very tight. Why is your chest so tight and so tense? The Shaykh replied that I cannot loosen my chest because I can hear the cries and the screams of the people in Gaza. I can hear the screams and the cries of the people in Philistine. This is the worry and the concern that the pious predecessors had. Until we do not bring this worry and this concern into our life, nothing will change. Nothing will change the state of the Ummah. Nothing will change the state of the people in Philistine. We will never gain respect. We will never gain the izzah and respect in the eyes of the disbelievers. Until we do not become fully obedient and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected brothers, elders and young friends, the disbelievers outside, the people causing oppression, they are not scared of us. They are not scared of us. Why? Because they know that we have no connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that we have no connection to our deen. We have no worth of our deen in our life. They know that deen is, we are mere Muslims by name. We are Muslims by name. They know this. They are not scared of us. They know that we will not do anything, that we are not concerned. Until the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the complete obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come in our life, then the state of the ummah will not change. My respected Shaykh, Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dawrat Sahib Hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that each and every dua that a person makes, it should not go without making dua for the people who are being oppressed. No dua during the day should go without a person making dua for the people of Gaza, for the people of Philistine. If we really had the true worry and concern, then we would, every dua we make, we should make dua for these, we would make dua for the people of Gaza, the people of Philistine, the people who are being oppressed in Africa, in India, in China, in Sudan, in all these places where we are seeing that the Muslims are being oppressed. We will remember them in our dua. If we were true believers and we were true Muslims, and we are the true ummati and the follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we truly had this concern, then in each and every dua that we make, we would remember them in our duas. The great Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam, Mufti Taqi Uthmani hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentions that a believer, he can help the people of Philistine, the people of Gaza, the people who are being oppressed in two ways. The first way is that he wakes up during the time of Tahajjud and he performs the Salah of Tahajjud, and thereafter he makes dua and he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he asks for the help and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second method is that he helps financially. And then he further mentions that a person that is not able to do any of these two things, is he even worthy of calling himself a Muslim? We should ponder over these sayings of our pious scholars. We should ponder over our own actions, that what effort are we making? We can talk about the people, we can talk about Gaza and all these places the whole day. We can watch the videos the whole day. But how much effort are we actually making? How much dua are we making? How much obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much extra ibadah are we actually carrying out? So we must take these points into consideration. And once a person, he has adopted these spiritual means, then alongside this, he must also carry out the apparent and the physical means to help. The great scholar of the past, Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that as believers, we are not physically able to go and help these people. So our greatest weapon is our voice. Our greatest weapon is our voice. So we must create movements and start campaigns where we can help and we can raise awareness for our Muslim brothers and sisters who are being oppressed. However, each and every campaign and movement that we adopt, that we choose, it must only be initiated on the basis and on the condition that no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. Today we see that people are holding fundraising dinners, people are holding charity events, and the open disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. In the name of the people of Gaza, we are holding these events and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. How can we justify this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we justify this to the people of Gaza, to the people who are being oppressed? Unnecessary free mixing, music, dancing, and then certain events where we pay money. We pay money for a dinner, for example. We pay money for a dinner, we go, we will get a meal, and that money will go to charity. This may be permissible from a Sharia aspect, but from a moral perspective, let us ask ourselves that we are donating money for a good cause, for the people of Gaza, for something in return. How can we justify this to the people of Gaza? For a worldly pleasure, for a pleasure in return, we are donating money. How can we morally justify this? The ummah, the spirit of selflessness where we give merely and simply for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must never let this disappear. So we must ask ourselves before we indulge in these kind of things, that how can we justify ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we justify ourselves to the people of Gaza, the people who are being oppressed? What would they think if they heard about this? So let us take these points into consideration. We are from tomorrow evening, we will be going through the last 10 days of Ramadan. And many people know that the last 10 days of Ramadan, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the i'tikaf takes place. So let us utilize these moments. Brothers should make intention to take part in the i'tikaf. And there are many rewards for this i'tikaf. And the main reward and virtue is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that in the last 10 days of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform i'tikaf. He would seek the Laylatul Qadr, the night of Laylatul Qadr. The night of Laylatul Qadr, it is not certain. In one narration, it can be any of the last 10 days. In another narration, it can be the odd days of the last 10 days. And in another narration, it could be the 27th night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not specified. Hence, we must seek Laylatul Qadr in each and every night. Ibn al-Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that if a night of Ramadan, it coincides with the 27th, a Friday of Ramadan coincides with the 27th day, then this is most likely the day of Laylatul Qadr. So alhamdulillah, the 27th night will be a Friday night and it will be coinciding. So we should, however, we must spend all the last 10 days, the nights of these 10 days of last 10 days of Ramadan seeking Laylatul Qadr. It is mentioned, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the first 20 days, he would spread his nights between sleeping and between ibadah. However, in the last 10 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend the whole night in ibadah. So we should also endeavor that we spend the nights of these 10 days in ibadah, in tahajjud, in dua, make dua for ourselves or for our family, for the ummah, for the state of the ummah, for those being oppressed. And if one is not able to do any form of ibadah, then our respected Shaykh, he mentions that the best form of ibadah that will save ourselves from sin and from futile action is to go sleep. So we must consider these points in mind. Let us make dua for all those being oppressed all across the globe. Let us make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts our Ramadan, He makes us amongst the muttaqeen, the subservient ones, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to seek the night of Laylatul Qadr. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all grant me the tawfiq and the ability, and thereafter grant everyone else the tawfiq.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
سبحان الله.